Educating young people about art is, I think, one of the most important things that we need to do as parents, but also as a society. Somebody who is doing phenomenal work is Zane, who heads up the Education Center here at the Norval, and I'm really excited to chat to him and see how much of an impact art has made on his life, but also on the youngsters who he has classes with. How did you end up here as part of the Norval team? Because I know that artists play a huge role in your life.
Yeah.
And here you are helping art to play a huge role in the lives of young people.
Yes.
How did that whole process
you happen? Want a short version or the long version?
Version you want to give me.
Okay, so my interest in art started when I was in primary school. I basically attended Canemeyer Primary in Crossy Park, and they offered a subject in art. And also because of my literacy problem, art was basically a crutch that I leaned on in order for me to cope that time already. So when I fell thrice at primary school, and then I went to Crossy Park High, and it was my intention also to pass and finish matric, and art actually helped me to do that. I landed up in Lavendale. Because I attended the New World Foundation, which offered a computer course. Mm-hmm. And at that time, obviously, when you have a computer training, you actually, you have a better chance to get a job. Mm-hmm. So there they introduced computers, and then I was also introduced to life skills. And then the facilitators basically saw my potential, and they offered to train me. And then I stayed there for 15 years. And I got engaged with aftercare programs, youth programs, and that's also where I started my foundation in youth development. Mm-hmm. I studied at the UCT for adult education, mm-hmm. and I also went to the Butterfly Art Project, and they teach therapeutical principles of how to use art. And that just opened up another door for learning and also engaging with children from under-resourced communities. So these skills helped me to get here. So here at the Norval Foundation, I can actually teach and share the knowledge that I've learned in the communities. And we offer a sponsored program here at the Norval Foundation to the under-resourced communities like schools and NGOs, even ECDs, from the ages of 4 years old to 18 years old. And at this, in our program, we tailor make this program to fit all ages. Like this morning, we had a beautiful engagement with the little ones where we show them the magic of color and also shapes. And then we took them onto a little walk in our garden, and they could interact with the sculptures and also nature heals. Mm. So even walking through the garden, they can smell and they can feel and they can see the beauty of nature. So it's actually a privilege to work at the Norval Foundation, because there's three things that I love being involved with, which is human beings, children, youth, art, and also nature.
Yeah. Zane, I'm so excited to listen to you. And it's like, you absolutely are passionate about what you do. I can see it's one of those things when opportunity needs preparation. You're where you need to be right now.
I am.
If they didn't realize that art would be your crutch. You said a literacy program. Mm. I assume you were dyslexic or...
I was dyslexic. I am dyslexic. It's not cured. It will be there. So I managed and navigated through life by teaching myself certain things and ways to cope. And art is also helps through trauma. Youth and people, all of us have been traumatized at some point in our lives. And living in a society and communities where there's trauma, art can actually be a tool for healing. Watercolor allows you to let go. Watercolor is always fluid, and it creates beautiful magic. And that is what we also want to bring back to the children today. They sit with their cell phones and in screens, but they don't have that essence and experience in creating and being intrigued by creativity. Even working with clay allows children to be stabilized and also have the will to work with clay. Even drawing sits in the mind. So everything, or when you have a pencil or crayon, that allows you to tap into your brain. And then also mixed media allows you to have the, or to see abundance within your reality. So then adding that all actually helps and grow you into a healthy, stable human being.
Zane, it's so interesting. As you're talking about this, you talk about mixed media. I remember as a youngster cutting out pictures from magazines,
yes,
sticking it on, doing these collages, and then putting strips of sellotape over, and then that would sort of be how I envisaged my life. So you're absolutely right. I think art and creativity helps us to dream outside of what we perceive to be our realities.
True. And here at the Norwell Foundation, that is what we inject in our program, so that the kids can have the ability to touch, to feel, to express and to explore. Many of our children actually come here and they are very fearful in creating because they are taught that you need to color inside or in the lines or you can't make mistakes. But here we break that down in the little time that we have so that they can actually look at themselves and say, hey, but it's okay, I can make a mistake. And through that mistakes, creativity then emerge and blossom.
Can I ask you, Zane, you sound like somebody who's comfortable and at ease with themselves. Did you grow up in spaces in which you were able to access art museums, or when did you go into your first art museum?
Actually, if I look at it, I actually went to the Ezekiel Museum with a neighbor of mine, and that's where I was introduced to art. And also to artifacts and to sculptures. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the best experiences of my life, the best outing in Cape Town, in the gardens. That was one of the best outings that I can actually remember. And then as time goes by, I went to other museums, but I always thought that there's something missing. Mm-hmm. Kids need to engage. You need to facilitate.
They need to be told not always don't touch. Sometimes they need to touch.
Yes. And here at the Norwell Foundation, it's an opportunity for them to touch in the sculpture garden. So it's been a wonderful opportunity to work with these youth and children so that we can explore and also give them the literacy, the verbal and the visual literacy of artwork, because they don't have the vocabulary to look at art. So we break it down. We ask them, how do you feel about the artworks? What's your opinion about the artworks? Because in the beginning, it's a little bit foreign to them because they don't understand that language. But then we break it down and then we walk through the museum and they pick up styles of artists, like, for instance, the Atipatras, the Georgina Gratrix, William Kendrich. So when they leave you, then we do like a little assessment and they know the artist's names. Or they would say that this opportunity or the highlights for them was they can actually identify what the highlight was. Even coming to our toilets. So we do have a big issue within our communities with the lack of toilets, and entering the Norwell Foundation with with water that is free-flowing, a toilet that's got lights and also a button where it's easily flushed. That's even an experience to them. So,
to be honest, even for me, I think those are probably some of the most photographed bathrooms because they are beautiful. I can't imagine even a space in that sense can be seen as intimidating unless you have the right people walking this journey with you. And again, I must say, I'm so happy to chat to you now because I can feel that you're where you want to be and need to be. I can feel that you really are passionate about what you do.
True.
Zane, I want to find out from you, your favorite artist or your favorite exhibition. You've been here for 3 years already at the Norwell.
Ooh, that's a very difficult question. I would say that I love William Kendrich. I obviously love Atipatra Ruga. And then also we had, what's his artist's name? I forgot now. But there's so many artists. Mm-hmm. I love Lady Scully. Lady Scully actually resonates with a lot of kids actually in or within Cape Town.
Is the exhibition still upstairs?
It wasn't. It was here last year.
Grootgat. I love
that. Lady Scully Grootgat, yes. So Lady Scully grew up in retreat. Mother was a teacher, and then she was enrolled to Peter Clark Art Center. And when I tell that story to the kids that grew up or in the Cape Flats, then you could see their sparks. Mm. Like they can imagine
themselves.
Exactly. And being an artist and coming from the Cape Flats, and they can also become an artist.
Or become an Ikshan Adams.
Or an Ikshan Adams. Oh, wow. That he is actually one of my favorite artists. Mm. There's a lot of things that I can identify with him. Also, the medium that he's working with, the beads and the weaving, and also making it accessible for other people to come and also be employed by him. And the journey that he went through to becoming the artist that he is also is a very... Yeah, very heartwarming story.
Mm. Do you agree with the fact that for artists or for people who come in and enjoy art, identity plays a huge role? Because I think that's, for me, with Thanya Peterson.
Yes.
For me, to see myself reflected in the works, not in an egotistical way, but just in a sense of looking for a place of belonging.
Yeah.
Yes,
I think identity is very important. I think understanding... who you are, for instance, questioning who am I? Mm. That would be your life's journey and also your life's work of understanding who you are, firstly, and then you can unpack where you would like to go or what a direction you'd like to be to serve the world. And that question will always pop up in everything that you're going to do. Mm. So I think, teachers or educators, facilitators should pose that question to our youth and our children, to ask that important question, to let them understand who they are, where they came from first, who they are, and where they're going to. Mm.
I'm also very grateful that you mentioned getting the kids off the screens, because unfortunately, because everyone is so busy, the easiest thing to do is to hand a child a screen.
Mm. Yeah.
But in fact... We need to be bored sometimes to find our creativity.
Exactly. So I think COVID allowed the kids to navigate in that direction in screen time. Although screens can also be a job one day, marketing, graphic designing. But I think what lacks with children is the mere fact that they climb a tree or even... take up a pencil or crayon and discover that magic. And like I said earlier on, the mere fact that they should learn to draw outside the lines and also to make that mistakes and also to be praised and also to be motivated to carry on. And like I said, when you do make that happy accident, then that's where the creativity sits. Because now you're stuck. We all get our stuckness or our crisis. Let's call it a crisis. Where you are in a crisis, but you need to move away or get out of that. And that is what life is all about. We all find a crisis somewhere, somehow during the day, and we need to navigate or to be flexible to move along.
Zain, thank you so much. I really enjoyed speaking to you, and I'm very, very happy for Norval to have you. I think they should know how valuable you
are. Thank you so much. Thank you.
The work that Zain is doing at the Norval is very, very important. Of course, taking kids from early childhood development all the way through school. But then another important aspect is, of course, at a graduate level. So we were very, very lucky to catch up with Ivan, who is part of the Zeitz UWC Fellowship Program. They've already had 4 cohorts, and Ivan was part of the second group. And it was lovely to hear what he's up to. Of course, he's also busy preparing for the Zeitz Mocha Gala, which is why I'm dressed up like this. But really, really lovely to hear from him in terms of the importance of this program. Ivan, it's so lovely to be sitting here with you in what I would say is one of the most iconic venues in Cape Town, in the foyer here at the Zeitz Mocha. Your journey in the world of art has been, dare I say, colorful in various ways, but tell me, being part of the Sala exhibition here, which I must say is such a mind-blowing exhibition, and it was curated by you and the fellows from the UWC Zeitz Fellowship. Please tell me about your journey into this world.
Well, it started about 2 years ago. This is now, I'm on my third year of being part of the Zeitz Mocha family. I started as a fellow in 2023.
The second cohort.
The second cohort, that's correct, yes, Joanne. and was in the institution advancement department as well. So my involvement in the exhibition was from an academic perspective, but also from sort of a marketing perspective. So while I was also co-curating with the team, we were also then working with my office team, I would say, to set up the big event that happened, also then to bring queer bodies and people into the space, which is also the case with Sala. It's been a good journey, and I think we're very proud of the exhibition, and I think it's a good showcase of everything we've studied and learned at UWC, a good bringing together of the Sites Marker and the UWC Fellowship. Yeah.
It's been amazing to see how involved and how much of a contribution Sites Marker has made to education, be it with the BMW Center for Art Education, to the fellowship program. Tell me about the fourth cohort that's been taken in as a student. And I mean, where did you grow up firstly?
I grew up in the Eastern Cape in Makanda, Grahamstown. Yeah. So a student-centered space as well. Yeah. The cohort's been growing as well. We were five fellows to begin with, and we have, I think we have six this year. So every year they're also trying to build on that. The fellowship's also been extended into an alumni program where we offer beyond just honors degrees, also a master's and PhDs offerings. And you also have the ability to then come and work at the museum as a research assistant. So I think there's multiple levels of education and integration with education that's happening at the museum, which I think is so important. You know, as Koyo says, we're building the next group, or what she calls art warriors of the continent. Yeah.
Which are some of your favorite, I would say, programs? I mean, I love Africa Day, for example, when you're able to gain access if you have a passport, an African passport. But which are your favorite initiatives here at Zeitz that make art more accessible to people on the continent?
I would definitely say that Africa Day is definitely a highlight, especially with our younger audience members, you know, the influencer groups and those of us who are on TikTok and Instagram. As we know, the museum is a great place also for some photo shoots. I would also say a lot of the programs that the Center for Art Education or the BMW Center for Art Education is running at the moment, especially we're working towards the Mobile Museum, which we hope to have up and running in the near future, where we actually take the museum to the people. And for me, that I think is going to be a really beautiful experience, not only for us to share our work with others, but also to get their experiences in their home spaces. You know, it's often that we want people to come and visit us, but it's so nice to take that experience to the people as well. Yeah.
The gala. Now, I know that that's something that's become sort of an institution in its own here in Cape Town on the continent, but you're very involved in preparing for the gala. So thanks for taking time. The gala is happening on Friday, 21 February. Yeah. So very exciting. What can we expect?
Well, we'll be seeing you there, of course, as our master of ceremonies. But, you know, all around elegance, artistic elegance, I think we always look forward to seeing what people are going to wear. As we know, our art communities of Africa have rich expression or rich sense of expression. I'm always looking forward to see what Koyo is going to be wearing. Also, just to see how people are integrating with each other, again, bringing together under our beautiful cathedral space. And then, of course, the collateral program, very excited about that as well. Open, unfortunately, only to our gala guests, but, you know, it's more reason to purchase a ticket next time. And then also very excited to see Tandiswa Mazwai perform, to see Ottobong receive her award. I think all around excited for a beautiful evening of art, African excellence and the diaspora. And I guess another opportunity to just show off this beautiful space, you know, and to have some flashy lights for once. Not for once, but once again, rather. Yeah.
Art education is an integral part of growing a new cohort or a new base of collectors. And in particular, I think on the African continent, we're doing lots of work, but so much more can be done. The programs run by institutions like Sites and Novel are really, really important for us developing both the creatives and their collectives or their patrons. And I think also the concept of patronage has, it's got a long way to go, but it is very, very encouraging to see how many people have shown their interest in Audacity, for example. To me, launching this podcast has been a way to get people to listen, to learn, to look, and just to contemplate the importance of creativity and art. So if you please, please subscribe to the channel, that would be much appreciated. And also let us know which episodes you enjoyed the most and what you think we should focus on for season two. Season two is coming, so please do let us know what you would like to know about on Audacity, the podcast with me, Joanne Strauss.